the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Friends and enemies, and as my friend Muslim Bitcoin in the chat says, assalam.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, is that what it says?
Assalamu alaikum. That's it.
You're the language guy on the show, not me. Anyway, it's good to see everyone. Welcome to a impromptu nooner, which we used to do in the middle of the day, but now do at night because we stream.
Dave Bradley, somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Dave Bradley had to cancel, so we wish him well. He's going to let me know when he can reschedule with us, but we're happy to have him on anytime. So I said to Len this morning or yesterday night, we had a cancellation. What do you want to do? We're going to chop it up. There's lots to talk about. Big drop this morning, obviously. Might talk about why. Might talk about why not. Should you care? Obviously not. But we'll get into all that stuff. First, Len, the sponsors, EasyDNS. Mark continues to help us set up our media empire. Today, we grabbed the Twitter handle for CBP Media. What was it? What was the rest of it? CBP Media.
That's a good one. I don't even know. CBP Media Network.
Right. CBP Media Network on Twitter. So you can follow us there. Because we were talking about like whether I was going to get one of the other Twitter accounts for the other shows blue checked. And I'm like, I don't want to fucking do that. But if we get one Twitter account for the whole media network and tweet out from there, that could be good. So we got CBP Media Network on Twitter. Go follow that. It'll get a blue check mark, the dirty blue check mark at some point. And we were talking to Mark not long ago, earlier today, about adding some stuff to the website for all the other shows. And obviously, he's going to help us with that. And, you know, his staff help us with that. But on top of all that, if you want to do anything to do with hosting a website, getting email service, getting PGP email, getting VPS stuff, Mark is your guy. His tagline is your friendly neighborhood DNS/registrar hoster. I think I have all that right. I might be missing on some of the terminology, but it's as good as it gets. You want to do a Bitcoin node, BTC pay server, Nostr relay. You want to do a nodeless implementation. You want to do a website. You want to start an email. You want to bring your stuff from somewhere else, some inferior service that you're using now foolishly. You're using it foolishly. You could go over to Mark. He'll help you bring it over. It's a piece of cake. CBP Media is the code to use, or just tell him we sent you. You get 50% off. Thrilled to be working with Mark and EasyDNS. And we hope you guys give it a shot if you haven't already. Got another sponsor, Len, today. Probably getting some volume, I think. Who is it?
Yeah, Bull Bitcoin. Based on the referrals that we have, the referral code we've given out, yeah, there's a number of people that are buying it. And good for you, because it's a good day to buy, given a price action. But yeah, Bull Bitcoin, fantastic place to buy. Don't sell your Bitcoin, especially if you have the ability to hold on to it. Again, not financial advice, but do what you got to do with it. I'd prefer to hold on to it. And there's a lot of things you could do with your Bitcoin. It's not just buying it. It's not just selling it. You could also trade it in for a couple of things. Number one, you could use that Bitcoin that you have on your balance sheet, and you could pay your bills with it through Bull Bitcoin. Number two, you could then use your Bitcoin and also buy gift cards and spend it in the real world, whatever the real world may be. But you could spend it. You go to Home Depot, you go to Canadian Tire, where the heck you want.
Well, do they take those gift cards in the clown world too? Or just the real world?
They take them everywhere in the clown world. And you know what? Clown world is going to be big next week. Mark my words, but we'll talk about that later on. But yeah, it's a lot of good things you could do. You could buy on-chain, you could buy Lightning, especially when the fees are high, but the fees are getting better and better, which is not too bad for us that continue to like the stack and do things with our Bitcoin. But the best thing to do have is the KYC free state. So you go to Canada Post, dump your Canadian dollars, they'll take that, load up your Bull Bitcoin account, and you can buy some KYC free Bitcoin. It's easy to do. I did a video on that if you want to check it out. It's in the archives. It's not too far, hard to find. And it's the cheapest and probably the easiest way of getting KYC free Bitcoin. The second is more arguable, but the first is definitely true. It's the cheapest to get the KYC free Bitcoin in Canada. Execute it. Go buy some. Use a referral code. $21 added to your account. No questions asked.
Can't beat it, man. I answered a question in my DMs today from a young fella who was thinking about doing a KYC free buy. Wasn't sure how to carry it out. I gave him the instructions verbally, but I should have sent it to your video. I always forget that you did a video on how to buy KYC free. That was one of the first things we did when we partnered with Bull. And it's a great place to look if you're looking for a resource on how to exactly to execute the KYC free strategy using your friendly neighborhood Canada Post outlet, of which there are more than Tim Hortons, as you always say. I believe this is still the case.
Yeah, almost 50% more, give or take.
Yeah, that. Pretty good.
Significant.
Pretty good. So you can always do that. Check out the channel. Go look at it. Go figure it out. And with that, Lam, we got about 25 people here. God bless you all for coming. Sorry, Dave didn't make it. If you missed that part, Dave's had to reschedule with us. So we'll get him on, you know, in short order, I'm sure. But in the meantime, Len, may as well talk about the price drop. We never really talk price on this show anymore. We're not sort of speculating in the price game. And today, obviously, huge drop from a very much unofficial report from a company headed up by Jihan Wu. I can't remember the name of the company. Matrix or something like that? Right.
Matrix Port. I've never heard of this. I don't know why people gave it credence, but they did enough to impact the price of Bitcoin. It went down, what, 7, 8, 9%?
It was over 5% for a bit today. Yeah.
Yeah, that's significant. And the legend that bought at 40,700, I think that was a low today. Wow. Good for you because you bought it at a discounted price. And hopefully you're going to hold on to your Bitcoin for quite a while and let this thing run up. But anyways, why did it go down so quickly? I mean, the Matrix Port came out with this... They were saying that the ETF is going to be delayed, canceled, at least for a few months. And I don't know why people are paper hands in this whole thing. You know, the price of Bitcoin is what it's last traded at. Mm-hmm. But the value of Bitcoin is something much different. The value of Bitcoin, what I believe it is, it's different than you believe, Joey, what's different and what people are watching and listening to this show believe it is in. Because, you know, I'm not going to take my Bitcoin to my grave. And I'm sure everybody's not going to do the same thing. They'll either give it to somebody or spend it later on when they find the price that they are happy with, the value that they're happy with.
Right.
So the price that we have right now, it's reflective of what's being traded in the market, but it's not really the value of Bitcoin. Let's be perfectly honest. It is much higher to all of us, but still, there's still paper hands out there. That is all the traders. They are impacting the price of Bitcoin, and it's significant amount went down in terms of price just from this one report that seems to be fabricated. There's no basis, all that shit. And still, there are people out there acting and reacting, and they are selling en masse. Fuck you. But, you know, there are people out there to buy it up. That's pretty good. But anyways, from what I gather, the SEC is still going through the motions.
Yeah.
To have this ETF approved. You know, they're meeting with the New York Stock Exchange. They're meeting with NASDAQ. They're meeting with the players that involved that filed these ETF applications. So there seems to be no indication from the SEC that they're going to be delaying it or denying these applications, but there's also no indication that they're going to be approving it. They're just going through the motions. It looks like they're going to approve it, but all in all, who gives a shit in the end? It doesn't change anything in my opinion with respect to Bitcoin. Bitcoin is regardless with a ETF or no ETF, and preferably I'd have this ETF delayed as long as possible. It gives me an opportunity to stack even more on the cheap. But here we are. That's really the gist of it. Why the price went up. Went down and then came back up. It recovered pretty quickly, but it still didn't recover from the day's high, unfortunately. We're still down like a couple of grand. But either way, who cares? Keep stacking away. It's an opportunity to buy some cheap Bitcoin.
Yeah.
If the ETF is approved, you could damn well bet there's going to be a massive green candle. Front run it. Do what you got to do.
I think that's a decent strategy. I just want to show people. We'll do a little amateur TA here for people who are on audio. You can just head over to video and look at this. The 20-week moving average is almost always a magnet, or the 20 period moving average, I should say. So if you look at like any chart for Bitcoin, you're going to get the price moving toward the 20 week during most runs, right? So we've been lucky here for the last 10 or 12 weeks that we haven't really seen a significant drawback. But if you look historically, even through some of the highest price moves, you always wind up back at that 20 week moving average, pretty steady as an indicator. And so I would expect to see, if you were going to get a real big drawback, Len, you might get it to whatever the 20 week is right now, 33,931. That seems like an awfully big drop. So what you might see instead is a little chop around here, save for an ETF, of course, which would be kind of a first of its kind news item for Bitcoin, obviously. I would expect that this is probably, I mean, a decent place to continue to average in. It's not financial advice, but I know this morning I bought, I don't know if you did or not. I know a lot of people on Twitter bot, and I know a few people listen to the show bot because I got messages from people. So I feel pretty good about that. Now, the reason that ETF was delayed, this better not be the reason the ETF is delayed if it's delayed, but there's a tweet, like I said, from Matrixport. I'll pull it up here. By the way, there's a matching tweet from Matrixport saying the opposite, that the ETF is very likely to be approved. But this one today was the one that really got people upset and caused it somehow caused a price drop of significant nature here. I guess maybe depends on your exact definition of a significant price drop in Bitcoin. But for them to be able to tweet something like this, seemingly unsourced, I don't really understand how this moved the price. So the tweet, I'll zoom in a little bit. Matrix on Target, which is, I guess, a service they use or offer, projects a January rejection for Bitcoin spot ETFs by the SEC, cautioning traders to hedge long exposure. With SEC Chair Gensler's skepticism towards crypto, a potential 20% Bitcoin price drop is anticipated upon ETF denial, though a positive end of 2024 outlook remains. I mean, someone is paying for this service, which is unbelievable in and of itself, but it's even worse the people who are not paying for the service, and so you would imagine not find it valuable, decided to market sell on this news. I don't know, man. I continue to be thrilled when I see stuff like this because it just means cheap sats for you and me. But I thought, like, if you had told me 3 days ago that we would get a significant price drop, even as it seems like the ETF is inevitable and quickly approaching, I would have said, no way. It doesn't matter what negative tweet comes out. It doesn't matter what negative news story comes out. The price is not going to move. And yet here we are today, 7%, 8%, 9% on some exchanges. It's a gift. It's a gift because, as you can already see, if you had bought down that 40% number, you've already made 5% on that buy. And I suspect it's going to continue to rise. I can't imagine that people are going to be freaked out going forward after what happened this morning. Because as you mentioned, I think Fox News is reporting that the SEC is in sort of the final stages here. And you might see trading on these things as early as next Wednesday, the 10th. I mean, if that's not a gift, if that's not a gift this morning, I don't know what is. And then Jihan Wu, obviously, if there's a guy who wants to add to his bags, is he top 5 on your list? Top 10 on your list? Probably.
No.
I mean, Len, he loves the dips. He's a guy who can move the market, and there you go, right? Had you ever heard of Matrix Corp before this morning?
No.
Me neither. Yeah.
No.
So obviously somebody not us though.
What I'm shocked is the market before this drop, I think the market cap was around for Bitcoin, was around $700-800 billion.
Yeah, about $800 billion.
Right. So, it's significant in terms of size. And I know that's just the last traded price. That's what's reflective of. So it's not really indicative of the true market cap, but we're going to go based on that. But still, even with something with that large a market cap, can still be impacted by fake news to the point where, as you said, dropped upwards of 9% from some exchanges. That to me is incredible. What does that show? Are we early? Is this thing still very volatile because, there's not enough people hold on to it? I don't know. It could be a number of different factors, but I'm just still amazed that something so large in terms of market cap can be impacted to a large degree by fake news.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to fix that.
The whole U.S. electorate and Canadian electorate is also driven by fake news. They literally, I don't think Moses parting the Red Sea could do as good a job splitting or dividing the way that news does. And so I'm not surprised to see them move. You know what's funny though? There was not a single corroborating story. Remember 3 or 4 months ago, there was that story the ETF was approved and the price moved 8 or 9% in a single morning and then came back down. And there was a few stories corroborating it and then one or two denying it, blah, blah, blah. There's really not even any back and forth today. It was just kind of this thing floating solo.
Financial Times, I think, was the one that reported it, if I recall.
Did they? So they tweeted it out too. Is that what happened?
They were the ones that started it. I think they were the ones that then everybody picked up off. I could be wrong. That's why every time
Matrix Sports started it. This shitty.
This one. I'm talking about the financial.
Oh, right. Yes. Okay. Yeah, at least then, there was some reputable sources. Again, you and me, we're not the most plugged in people, but we are more plugged in than many. And I had never heard of this service before, not a single time. And whatever, I guess I'm not paying for trading services or crypto services, but presumably, you could figure this out if you had half a brain, right? I don't know. Just seems like it was an easy one to get right, and they caused this huge negative downward price action. I don't know. I shouldn't call it negative because it was positive for me. But the rest of the people out there probably lost a bunch of money, lost a bunch of faith. This is the kind of day where you get a message from people. I got a message in one of my normie group chats from a buddy of mine saying what caused this overnight drop in Bitcoin. And I told him, I'm like, it's just this one tweet. I said, this is a chance. If you want to start buying, because I have a lot of friends who still refuse to buy. if you want to start buying, it's not going to get a better day than a 6% decrease that kind of holds around 4 to 6% most of the day. That's a pretty good chance to get in, right? Maybe not at $1,000, but how about 500? How about 200? How about 100? Whatever, right? You could start there. But I don't know, Len, how many new Bitcoiners do you think we made today? My guess is not too many, honestly.
I don't think we lost many either. No. I think it was it's essentially, it's a wash.
Yeah.
From all this. And I don't think people are looking at this and say, oh my God, Bitcoin is too volatile. It's an asset that I don't want to invest in. The people that are going to be investing in it, the ones that already are in it, you know, they have conviction. They're there. For and sure. The ones that are probably waiting for the ETF, I don't know why they're on the sidelines waiting for that, but they're probably going to pump their money into it as soon as the ETF becomes available to try to make fiat gains. Because let's be honest, you don't go into ETF to hold it for life. Mm-hmm. You go into it to eventually pull out, make fiat gains, and do something else with the money that you've made from it. But I don't know. I don't think we made too many. We did lost too many Bitcoiners. We didn't make any Bitcoiners too at the same time. It was just a wash. This whole thing is just, I'm wondering if it was a coordinated or a trying to, you know, Jihan Wu and a crowd trying to do an attack. Because, you know, sure. if you combine this with the DDoS / Ordinals BRC attack that's going on Bitcoin, maybe there's a connection with all this. I'm not 100% sure, but, you know, maybe it's time we start looking and to see if you could draw any parallels here and see if there's some people are doing shit that, you know, that are trying to fuck us up in one way or another.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, there's rumors going around that, not rumors, but Marty Bent tweeting today that, you know, he's expecting a basically Sunday night onslaught pretty soon from the Treasury Department saying, look, you can't approve these ETFs. The Bitcoin's a national security threat. It's a threat to the US dollar hegemony. It's all these things, right? There's probably so much going on behind the scenes, both from government actors and from people who are just, you know, Twitter heads, big Twitter accounts, guys like Jihan or others in the space. There's probably a ton of people who want this thing to either fail or, you know, succeed with a cloud over it or something like that. I know in the Corn Lords chat, there's talk that Preston Pish this morning said that he expects the Liz Warren anti-self-custody bill to pass in the States, which would be another kind of huge moving part for all this, right? You know, and this is why I said to you and I said to Mark when he was here a couple of weeks ago, that it almost feels to me like the US needs an ETF to come ASAP because they want to get rid of self-custody ASAP. And so all this stuff together, like the price crash, the ordinal stuff, the self-custody stuff, you know, I don't know. I have a hard time. And I, you know, could you even include the Ledger, you know, findings in there a little bit? Like suddenly the biggest wallet in the space has tons of problems that are very public, you know, after all this time with no sort of reporting, no digging, no nothing, suddenly all these problems are coming to light one after another, more severe as they go. All this stuff, it's just like, it's frustrating because you don't want to be too tinfoil hat, but on the other side of things, like there's so much power at stake here when you talk about removing the Cantillon effect, the Cantillon advantage from people who are so close to the monetary spigot. You're seeing these charts now come up all the time on Twitter from from Fred, the Federal Reserve Education Department, of the debt in the States, basically going from steadily up and to the right to damn near parabolic over the last few months. And you know, those charts don't reverse. There's very rarely a parabolic debt chart that suddenly goes the other way. And I just think there's so much going on now that you could tell me anything about what's going on behind the scenes and who's doing it and whether it's a shadow actor or not. And it wouldn't be unbelievable. You have to consider every possibility at this point.
Can't Bitcoin be the savior? At least temporarily.
It's not going to save us. It's not going to save them though, right?
Well, why not?
Because they need, like, debt spending is the whole core of the operation there, right? They continue to finance old debt with new debt. The threat of military intervention is the only thing that keeps most countries in line. And what you're seeing, and actually Hrvoje Morić, who's coming on the show in a few weeks, had Bob Moriarty on today, or a couple of days ago, I guess, in the podcast released today, Geopolitics and Empire. And Bob made a great point that what you're actually seeing here is something that we've kind of lost sight of. There's an entire world that's based on commodity value and commodity, you know, the properties of a commodity economy and another entire set of the world that's based on debt. And the world that's based on debt is no longer winning militarily, no longer winning in soft exports or hard power exports. And what you're seeing now is this shift. The Americans, especially, I think, have become keenly aware of this in a lot of ways, even if they don't share it, even if KJP and you know, her lackeys or whatever are constantly bandying about how good things are when they get in front of a microphone. I think a lot of American policymakers, and I think a lot of American you know, business heavyweights, and probably a bunch of American regulars too, if I had to guess, are now going around saying, man, you know, it doesn't really seem like we're winning anymore. And the last thing that American power brokers want is to lose the last advantage they have, which is the one they have domestically over their peers. And to me, Bitcoin, it doesn't matter how good things will get long-term. The pain for them, the change in the way that they live, operate, and are able to kind of wield debt as an instrument of power, it completely disappears. And the delta between now and that life is too great for them, no matter how good things are on the other side of the hill.
Are they long-term thinkers or short-term thinkers?
I think a lot of them are short-term. I'm talking policymakers, right? Policymakers, sure. I think, are short-term. Yeah, big time.
Okay.
Business people, I mean, you don't have to ask if they're short-term thinkers. Look at the list of people who suddenly want to hop on with the Bitcoin ETF. Goldman, Diamond over at JP Morgan, BlackRock, Vanguard, VanEck, like you name it. All the people who are long-term thinkers, generational wealth types, big families, tons of, you know, these are the people who, when you watch Illuminati videos on YouTube, it's all the same fucking names, okay? Like, these people are not thinking for 5 years. They're thinking for 5,000. And those are the people who are getting on board with Bitcoin. That's another thing I think that scares policymakers, is these guys who have been around, they were around long before you and long after you, and they are no longer aligned with you at your core, right? They no longer care for the U.S. Dollar hegemony. They are moving on to something bigger and better. That's another scary thing, I think, for policymakers.
Well, so they're short-term thinkers. They're not thinking long enough term to figure out what's best for decades out or even farther than that. Okay, so what if there's potentially a way to really inject life into the economy, boost up GDP?
And you use inject and boost there. That's good. Good play on words there for the COVID fans. Go ahead. Keep going.
So you could do that. And all you have to do is just let this thing play out as it is, right? Like, if you do that and you don't do anything to put roadblocks in the way for Bitcoin, you essentially create a asset class that now has a significant amount of value behind it. If theoretically, if it 10x's from today, it's now within the same ballpark as gold. Not quite there. You still, you know, 70% of the way there, 60%. But I think gold is like a $12, $13, $14 billion market cap.
Big number.
But, you know, it's getting there. If you're at $6, $7, $8 trillion market cap, you're getting there. That's just a 10x, right? What if it goes beyond that? What if it goes to 20, 100? Mm-hmm. You know, you always hear the number, what if Bitcoin goes to a million? What if it's 5 million? And we're talking about today's dollars too. We're not talking mm-hmm. about a bunch of years from now where you can't even buy a watermelon with a bunch of US dollars. We're talking about today's dollars. So if you do that, if you let this thing run its course and become extremely valuable, what's going to happen? What do you think people are going to be doing? You think they're going to sit on their Bitcoin indefinitely, or you think they're going to start spending it one way or another? Okay. Yeah. Now, if you spend it, where are you going to spend it? Most likely in the place you reside. Some will go elsewhere, some will go abroad and so forth, but you're still going to have a portion of those people start spending within the country you live in. Now, by mm-hmm. doing so, even if there's taxation laws of capital gains and shit like that, the government could then collect more taxes. And with spending it, now you're going to be spending it on what? Goods and services. You're now increasing the economy just by simply letting this asset class develop on its own and increase in value. And then just organically, people will spend it. And then, well, businesses short term will be impacted by this. I'm wondering if this is in the play for these policymakers are looking at this short term enough. They're saying, this thing might be helping us in the short term. It might help us boost the economy a little bit, to the point where it may make us look good, but eventually it's going to really kill fiat currency.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's a nice way to think about it, but I think the reality of it is taxes have become a tool for the prevention of upward social mobility more than they become a tool to run government services. If that wasn't the case, then the debt, you know, wouldn't be going up at the same time that employment is going up. the problem is that you're in this paradigm now for the first time, 2015 or 14, this started, I forget when. Historically, you have deficits decreasing as employment goes up. Why? As you mentioned, tax receipts are up, more people are working, and so no one needs to have social programs to assist them and things like this. But in 2015 or 14, that changed. We've had deficits. I'm talking about Americans here. Canada's probably been going up longer than that, honestly, but America has been going up both on the side of deficits and on the side of employment since 2015. So to me, it's nice to say that the taxes from Bitcoin will help some businesses and you get people spending it sort of in your jurisdiction if you encourage it or allow it or do nothing even. But the fact of the matter is that it just doesn't, it's such a small number now where, you know, 100 years ago or 50 years ago or whenever, I guess taxes only came in 113 years ago, right? When the First World War started or finished, I forget. But the thing I would just say is that the taxes don't matter. I think we talked about this in the past, right? I think when we were starting out, one of the things we used to talk about was how tax receipts in Canada don't even cover like infrastructure spending. They don't cover healthcare. They don't cover entitlements. They don't cover almost anything. They don't, you know, you're closer to a number that covers like painting fire hydrants than you are a number that covers all of the
$400 billion.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. So I look at all this stuff and I just think in a perfect world, Len, maybe long-term, that's more feasible when government services are reduced to a proper number and public spending is reduced to, I don't want to say proper because it's going to hurt some people, but when it's reduced to a more rational level than where it is now, when we're sort of cut off from this, you know, debt spending vodka Red Bull mix, we've been hammering back, trying to stay at the party here. You know, in the proverbial rave that most of the modern world's been in, you're getting close to 5-6 in the morning now. A lot of people are starting to think eggs are looking a lot better than Red Bull and vodka, and so you're gonna have a hard time getting people to keep drinking with you. They're gonna want to eat at some point, and I think that time is getting closer here. It's getting very close, and the Bitcoin ETF is gonna really accelerate that process, I think.
What else can I say about that? I'm just wondering if a huge like jump in price is just going to be something that policymakers and governments are just, they're liking that because it's a way that they could somehow get a slice of the pie through taxation or just even having it spent in the economy just to increase it. And short term, it would be an elevation just by doing that. Because remember, 19 million-ish Bitcoin have already been mined. Now, a significant portion have been lost. But that's a lot that's been released by the network to people.
Yeah.
Most of that is going to, you know, it's accessible. I think the number is around, I think the theory is around 4 million is lost. So you can do the math that leaves around 15 million Bitcoin around. It's a lot of Bitcoin.
15 million, you know? Man, I can't believe it's that many that are lost. I guess we're going to see exactly how many are lost when the price gets to 100K, aren't we? That's going to be like when do you think the number is? We're going to see how many are lost. What do you think? Do you think a lot of those coins that have really been held for 10 years are actually like gone?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know, man. It's hard for you to believe that someone who is like cypherpunk enough to be like vibing on the Bitcoin talk forum when it was looking like, you know, early 2000s game facts. I have a hard time believing that those people are just going to be like, fuck it. I don't know where my Bitcoin is. I forgot where it is. It just seems so unlikely to me. These people, I think, are the ones who are like the most hardcore hodlers out there.
I think there's a lot of people out there that are very haphazardly securing their Bitcoin. I could look at Luke as being an example. And there was, I don't know the name of this gentleman, but remember he and his father were living abroad. So, yes. And they have had Bitcoin for now 11 years, or they had Bitcoin for 11 years. So I'm not going to say that just because they're OGs and they have a decent stack that they know how to hold it properly. It's far from the case. You know, they're human beings. People can still make stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
And they'll do it time and time again, which is,
we'll see,
you know, whatever.
We'll see. Do you want to, we should say hi to there's a couple people in the chat I want to mention here. Remember we were talking about triple elite memes last week with Corey or Monday with Corey. Mars Spitz Bars is in the chat. I'm pretty sure that's Mars from Twitter. So Mars, what's up? And Simon Bellanger from Canadian Investor podcast talking about how he loves Red Bull vodkas. I would have never pegged Simone as a Red Bull vodka guy, but I guess that drink really does speak to everybody in a different way. I always loved Red Bull vodkas when I was partying.
You know, I've never had a Red Bull in my life. I have no idea what it tastes like. So
bad.
Never
mind
mixing it.
It tastes
does
bad.
It?
I think because it tastes bad. That's my opinion.
Is I'm not. I have a coffee like every 2 weeks or something like that. I'm not much of a caffeine drinker. Yeah. So and Red Bull is like, is it like a coffee times whatever?
I think it's got a little more caffeine than coffee, but also taurine is the other ingredient, active ingredient. I don't know what it does. Yeah, I'm not sure. All I know is you shouldn't give it to like pregnant women. So that's probably like where I draw the line on things that you shouldn't have that often. But I haven't been really partying in a long time, so I'm not a big Red Bull vodka guy. Thankfully, I was never a drug guy. But if I had become one, I could kind of see how Red Bull vodka, if it's not enough, like there's really nowhere to go up the chain after that as far as like uppers at a party unless you're getting into illegal stuff. So we got to cool it. Yeah, Simone gives you heart palpitations, I bet. Do you want to talk about, I don't know, we've done half an hour. You want to do one other story here? What do you think?
No, because I still have to prep for next week's show. Now, I think if things play out the way they are,
yeah,
there's a chance that it's going to be 100% clown world.
It's okay. We have a chat with the Bull Bitcoin guys on Signal. And today from like 7 a.m., the links are just pouring into the chat there, just nonstop.
So what I have so far, until like this ETF news broke the Matrix port garbage, I had almost nothing with respect to Bitcoin that I've accumulated so far. So I have just a healthy list of clown world stuff. And it just gets longer and longer by the day. And I haven't shared even maybe, I don't know. I just scratched the surface. I give you guys in the chat. There's so much more to talk about. So there's a chance, I'm not going to say for sure, but there's a chance that next week's episode on Monday might just be 100% dedicated to clown world, because there's so much out there, and it's about time I bust out the wig.
We could do it. Yeah, we could do it. Maybe we'll make an exception if there's an ETF approval or big ETF news, but otherwise I'm happy to do whatever you want. I don't really care.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, we're talking Wednesday right now, and Monday is when we go live. So a lot could happen in the next 5 days. But the way things are playing out, 2024, people, is turning out to be an epic clown world year. We have surpassed, in this is the third day, and there's some stories that came out. Mind-blowing. You know the amount of people that left Canada, for instance? Did you see that statistic?
I saw it.
It's incredible. What's going on?
It's so bad.
And what are we replacing it with? Like, we're bringing it in
low wage Conestoga students.
Yeah, I told you already. Students and foreign workers. Now, students will eventually, you'd expect them to translate into high earners over time. But when you're here as students, they're not earning very much.
Conestoga students don't translate to don't become high earners. I showed you that video. I'm going to shit on it. I can shit on it all I want. I looked up today. Someone in Tom and Nick's comments on Instagram, because I said there was two Conestoga campuses, and someone's like, oh, there's 7 or 8. I went to Google Maps and looked them up. They look like they're in fucking strip malls. Some of the satellite images, it's in the middle of a fucking field, man. There's not 7 or 8, okay? Don't give me this. Not to talk to you guys. I know you guys watching and listening don't actually think this, but the people on Instagram who are like defending this, I am just bewildered. Like, what had to go wrong in your life that you're simping for the Stogues? I don't get it. Just stop. It's the same people
simping on BSV, right?
It's crazy. Like, just admit it. This is unsustainable. It's like a money grab. There's nothing wrong with saying that. It's fine. Just don't make yourself look dumb trying to like be the contrarian here. Jesus Christ, man.
Paulie's asking, where's people going when they're leaving Canada? I have no clue. I haven't
great question
that yet.
Someone I know said there a lot are going to the US, right? They're coming here, getting PR, and then with that PR you can go next door. So
I think this was citizens leaving Canada, so it's different. I have to dig further into this. So if it's just simply a permanent resident, then it wouldn't be captured in that stat. Okay. It's somebody that has gone to the length of becoming a permanent resident and a citizen, or born here and a citizen, that left to go somewhere else. And if they're going, like yeah, maybe United States is the primary place, but who knows where they're going. You know, in fact, we have somebody in the chat that we know that left Canada to well, I don't want to say the state just in case we dox him, but you know, this is more prevalent these days. People are more inclined to do this, to leave Canada, to go somewhere else. Not just because of, you know, there's a numerous reasons. I don't want to get into this, but that's one story from Clown World I have. I have so fucking many more.
The preview. Take care, everybody. Thanks for coming tonight on short notice, Len. Because God knows you got other stuff you'd rather be doing. And until Monday, Clown World potential. Everyone else take care of themselves.
It could be Clown World. Yeah, take care and don't be a cuck.
Ha ha.